News Talk 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. It's 8 o'clock in Mid-America.
Hey, this is Christine Niffin, and you're listening to Relationships 101, because as we know here on KMOX, relating isn't always easy. So why do we have Relationships 101? We have Relationships 101 because we're trying to work out the differences primarily between us and couples and figure out if we can work them out. Do we want to work them out? Do we move on? What do we do? We talk about different things here all the time. We learn a lot through having different guests on. We take your phone calls, which we'll be taking, of course, in the next hour. And we have lots of good emails, and we always love to answer those and send those to relationshipcoach@yahoo.com. So tonight, we're going to talk about one of the biggest issues that couples face, money. But don't kid yourself, cleaning and sex also seem to be big in there in my practice. But money is one of the biggest issues that couples have to deal with. It's one of the hardest things because there's a lot of emotion attached to it. We're speaking tonight to Ruth Hayden. She is a nationally recognized educator and author. She is a frequent commentator on Public Radio International's Sound Money and one of the experts on the new public television series Right on the Money, in addition to being quoted in many magazines. Her latest book is titled, I love this title, For Richer, Not Poorer, The Money Book for Couples. Hi, Ruth. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Christine.
Great. Thank you. Listen, this is an important topic, and I certainly see it in my practice. I'm a therapist in private practice, and I certainly see this a lot.
Well, actually, all of the major financial companies have done surveys. Harris actually has done several, and they say that money, according to couples, is the primary reason the couples fuss. And it's also the primary reason that they split up. It's consistent.
Yes, absolutely. Here's what I loved about your book. And yes, I actually read the books before I have the guests on.
Thank you for that respect.
Well, that's how I feel about it. Thank you. You're welcome. I feel like I owe the respect to that. I think your book does a terrific job of illustrating how you come to understand and accept differences in your partner, as illustrated by working out the money issues.
Right.
And working out all the emotional stuff associated with money. You walk the readers through the struggles of seven different couples, which is really neat because I think people can certainly relate to the different ways people are handling or not handling. I would say not handling the differences. And really what you end up concluding is that you end up having a much more emotionally intimate relationship after working through the money issues. So tell us a little bit about that. And why it's important, because I do remember one gentleman in one of your couples, it was great. I think he said something like, okay, Ruth, that's great, but why do we have to work through all this emotional stuff? Let's just get to the part where you solve the problem.
Well, there are two parts to money. One is what I call the management of money.
Okay.
That's why do you do what you do with your money? And the other one is the money itself. Where is our money going to be? What's it there for? You know, that's the money itself. At least my belief is, and I've been in this business now for over two decades, my absolute belief is that at least 80% of the success with money has to do with the management of money. And management of money is not a rational thinking process. Management of money has to do with beliefs, money beliefs that are based upon emotions. And if the couple can figure out what these are, they have a way to start to talk about it. You know, when you fall in love with someone, you fall in love with someone who is opposite you because it's stimulating, right? And then when you make a commitment to your life, you wish that you'd fallen in love with your clone because you can't figure out why this person is so different from you. And what the book takes the reader through and what I do in my classes and in my office is to help them understand their differences. Because what happens is that if you think differently than me, Christine, I may then judge you. I may say, well, what's the matter with you? It's disrespect.
Right.
And so if we can stop the disrespect from happening and get an open dialogue going, money isn't that difficult. What makes money difficult is the complexity of emotions.
Right. And you know, when I do lots of couples and marriage counseling, it's probably the primary bulk of my practice. And I launch into my usual speech, and people who listen to the show have heard it all the time. I always like to say, short of bank robbery and murder, things aren't right and wrong. They're just differences. Yep. And that can exacerbate in a variety of ways, of course, differences about everything, sex, money, cleaning, you know, anything, any of the things we normally think of. And I think your book shows, so, you know, interestingly enough, that the emotion attached to money is so big that maybe that's why that's one of the biggest differences to get through.
Well, your listeners must have experiences where they had an argument with a partner, and afterwards you say to yourself, what was that all about? Why did I get so upset? Right? And what it is I tell my clients that when your emotional response is bigger than the thing, you know, a cap on a toothpaste is not that big a deal.
Yeah, you may have, might be something about you.
then it's really about a belief.
Right.
It's emotion, and you have to figure out what that is, or you're going to continue to respond that way, and then we can't resolve it.
Right. When the reaction is out of proportion, yes, with the event that took place. Yes. That's
what
absolutely
I did,
right,
was I developed four management cornerstones, I call them, but they're for the management end of it. And they sound so simple, and they're profound. So if you think about, we're going to put our money life together, but we have these four cornerstones that are holding the structure together. They're management cornerstones. One is commitment. And I ask the couples to say, we're going to figure out a way. You know, they're saying, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't, maybe I'll leave, I don't know. They're not going to do it because money's hard. So I say, you have to have a commitment. You don't have to have a commitment till death do us part, but you have to have a commitment while we're working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to figure out a way. The second one is respect. We will be nice. We will treat each other nicely. We will be respectful. We will not be rude. And even if you don't understand, you still have to be nice. You still have to be respectful. You can't roll your eyes. You can't go, oh, I don't believe it.
Right, the sighing and the eye rolling.
Yes, it's amazing.
So...
And the third one is trust. And I tell the couples that you can't be trusted if you aren't trustworthy. So in little and big things, particularly in little things with money, you have to do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And then you are trustworthy. And the fourth one is a little more controversial. You have to be willing to compromise. And I use that word because we don't like that word. We don't like that word because we think compromise is about loss. But it isn't, you know. It's about stretching and flexing.
It's called the only way that if you're not married to your clone that you're going to get anything worked
That's
out.
That's really true. It's absolutely true. I hear in my office, this isn't the way I'd do it if I were single, Ruth. And I say, but you're not.
You're not, exactly.
You're not. And if you're going to have, if you get a dog, your life is going to be compromised. It's going to be very different. You have to get home and let the dog out. If you're going to have a house, it's very different. Your life is going to be very compromised. It's going to be very, you have to flex to take care of this house. If you're going to be in a long-term partnership, it will be different. And if it's not different from for both of you, one of you is acquiescing, and it's not going to work.
Right. And what your book does such a good... What your book does such a good job of is really what you're doing for people is what I have to do for people, too. You're doing it around a really tough emotional topic, money. You're teaching people to listen to each other and validate their feelings.
Absolutely. And be willing to work in an area that they haven't wanted to. You know, most of the people that I meet either have memories of their parents arguing about money, or they've had fights themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue is, how do we approach this differently? So that it can really work. And then how do we put money together differently?
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you talk about people being stuck. That's why you have to do the emotional stuff first before you get to the making the budgets and
stuff.
You
have to understand each other first.
Right.
Yes.
And you talk about the four ways couples communicate about money. So when we come back, I think those are interesting and very telltale. And we'll be back with Ruth Hayden.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, we're back. Thanks for staying tuned into Relationships 101. Listen, help raise awareness of ALS, often called Lou Gehrig's disease, by supporting the Run for Your Life 5K on Saturday, May 3rd. For more details and to learn how to register, visit KMOX.com. We are speaking with, I would say, nationally recognized, maybe internationally, I don't know. Definitely nationally recognized. Well, no, yes, Public Radio is international. So I would say internationally recognized author and educator, Ruth Hayden. We are talking about one of the biggest, or let's say the biggest issue that couples face and fight about and causes them a lot of trouble. We're talking to Ruth Hayden, author of For Rich or Not Poor, the money book for couples. So listen, Ruth, when right before the break, I like what you say in here. You talk about the four ways, which is, I guess, some of the ways people are stuck in this communicating. That's one way to look at it, too. The four ways couples communicate about money.
That don't work.
Thank you. Okay. That's the caveat right there. That's absolutely right. And I thought that was really good. I guess my question is, I'm going to say something here. Mm-hmm. You have the let's keep fighting. That's one thing they do. We're tired of all the fussing and feuding. Mm-hmm. It's another way they communicate. The sound of silence. They don't even want to talk about it because it's too much, too upsetting. And the just end this. Is there an implication that they start at the first one and then go through those logically? Because that is a logical progression.
Well, what I say is one is fighting and fussing.
Mm-hmm.
One is acquiescing. The language of acquiescing is whatever. You want to do it, you think you're good at it, go right ahead, right?
Right.
And then the silence. And Capital One came out with a study that they said that a half of people don't even know how many credit cards the other partner has, and a third say that they never, ever, ever, ever talk about money.
Well, absolutely. And listen, I see people in my office where they get married and 6 months later, he or she finds out the other one had $30,000 in credit card debt.
Yes, and they haven't talked about it. So what I tell the couples is that one of these is a place that you stay the most.
Which one?
So, well, it depends on what the couple is. Some of these couples can fight for the longest time and still be together. Some of these couples never, ever, ever talk about money. And some of them, one person has acquiesced and just disappeared and the other person's running it. And all couples use all three, but they stay in one longer. You know, that it's amazing the ability of some couples to not talk, to have absolute silence, no meaningful conversations. It's really amazing at how some couples can really fight. But couples use all three. It's the only thing that they know what to do. Because if it gets too hot, then they go to silence.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go to acquiescing, and one just says, okay, then you do it.
Right.
They don't let it get so hot they divorce, which is the final way. They don't let the resentment build up so high with the acquiescing that they divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't let the silence go on for so long that they have nothing left. One of them will start a fight if it's gone on too long. So the only model that most couples have to try to keep their relationship together is that when one of these starts to cause too big a price tag, they move to another one.
When one of the different styles of communicating.
Yeah.
So when they're fighting and it starts getting too upsetting, like maybe we're going to wreck this relationship, they go ahead and they decide they're tired of fussing and fighting. And like you said, somebody just says, you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you go do it then if you really want to do it. I don't think that people even do it consciously. I think this is the model in this society for what to do with money. People just do it kind of intuitively. One of them finally, because she or he just gets scared and says, well, then just do it. Or they both go to their own corners and just don't talk anymore.
Right. And the silence thing, oh, boy, that's bad.
It's really something.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me when I listen to couples how long some of them can go without a conversation. But again, when it goes too long and they wonder if they have anything left, one of them will start a fight. Just to see if you're still, are you still there?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, because that silence, to me, I'm one of those people that, boy, that's silence. You treat me with silence. It's almost worse than fighting. It's terrible. That one,
people,
I have a hard time with that.
There are some people who were raised with fighting that the silence is easier for them than the fighting.
Right.
So it really depends upon who they are. By the way, you mentioned earlier jobs. According to the studies, money's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs are number two. Who does what around the house?
Well, yes, because I can't tell you, I don't want to sound sexist on this show, but it's just a fact of life. I can't tell you how many times I have to say to the boyfriend or husband, it's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's not actually about the cleaning. It's about what the cleaning represents, which means partnership and different things like that.
Perfect.
That's what happens all the
That's
time.
That's exactly it. It's about partnering. You know, I teach the partnering model in this book. Partnering is where you have two people that are peers to each other. You know, both people have different strengths and both people have different weaknesses, but they are peers to each other. We go both get a say, and that's the model that works long term. Mm-hmm. That's what creates, you know, my job is to help couples be long term couples. And this partnering model, Christine, well, you know that from your office, mm-hmm. works magnificently.
Well, what the biggest thing that, you know, when my couples come in, I'll say, you know, I usually give a little bit of a universal speech because there's universal themes mm-hmm. going on, of course. And I'll say, look, one of the biggest things that happens is when couples come in here, there's maybe two, three, four main things, of which money is often one of them, that couples are fighting about and they can't seem to get it resolved. And the problem is, you know, I'll say to them, look, short of the bank robbery or murder, it's not right and wrong. It's differences. It just feels right and wrong. And I always like to say to them, too, I know that you get that intellectually mm-hmm. when I say that. But emotionally, it takes a while for that to catch up. And that's the problem. I think what couples, because of, you know, the romance novels, the movies, blah, 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 I think people have trouble with understanding really what's required mm-hmm. to have a good, solid relationship, let alone to deal with money, cleaning, sex, or anything
else. They keep waiting for the other partner to come up with an epiphany. They say, oh, I had an epiphany. You've been right all along.
Well, but see, that's the problem. I mean, we're each, you know, before we really understand that, we really are seeing ourselves as right. I mean, we feel that way, and we hold on to that because we have certain values, and those have gotten us through life. And so when the person that is supposed to love you sits across from you and tells you you're crazy, that you feel the way you do, it makes people dig their heels in even harder and start the Great Mexican Standoff.
You know, there was a group of academics at the University of Washington, and they came up with that only about 30% of conflicts, they said 31, but 30% of conflicts get resolved over the years. The rest have to be managed.
Right.
They called them unsolvable problems. Mm-hmm. I don't like that language. What I call them is challenges that have to be managed.
Yes.
Couples have to have respectful management tools, because if they're right, less than a third of challenges the couples have are ever resolved. The other way that they looked at it is they said that by the seventh year, the couples were still fighting over 70% of the same stuff.
Because couples have to understand that wherever there's, differences are seen as the enemy. I see many differences as a great thing that cause people to grow and stretch and meet in the middle, because that last word in your cornerstone, the compromise, that's absolutely essential, because what the problem is, if you can put anything on a continuum, and where the terrible fighting is one person sort of represented on one end, you know, one's clean, one's neat, one's late, one's early, one likes to make best friends with anybody they meet in 2 seconds, the other one's like, I don't know who that person is. And so all they can do is one needs to buck up and one needs to relax, and people have to start understanding that most of the things have to just be. But when you start to see some compromise from one side, then the other person compromises. And I always like to say, what happens is somebody complains for so long, I'm not getting this, I'm not getting that, I have never gotten that, I've never gotten that. Well, then that begins to sound to the other person like there's no way they're ever going to meet that. And I always say, if you just give somebody 50%, they're going to be thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really what it is. Compromise really is meeting in the middle.
Yes.
That with money, you know, if I'm a saver and I'm married to a spender, if we're really going to meet in the middle, my partner will spend less and I'll probably save less. But we'll still save plenty of money and we'll have a good time.
Right. In other words, the one who spends a lot has to respect that causes you anxiety, mm-hmm. but you also have to respect that maybe that's your personal thing and relax a little bit.
Yeah, and we find someplace in the middle. You know, when I teach the classes, they have to practice. They have to figure out something that they're going to do that week to show their partner how fabulous they are at compromising, at stretching, at flexing.
Oh, I love that. That's a great relationship
skill. And then we check to see if they've done it the next week, and then they have to do another one. And I say, they have to become absolute pros at this, because if they can do that and get their heels out from being dug in, mm-hmm. anything is solvable. Anything is manageable.
I absolutely believe that. Listen, great stuff here for richer, not poor. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Ruth Hayden.
Now, back to Relationships 101 with Christine Niffen on KMOX.
Hey, KMOX and Wehrenberg Theaters invite you to check out the opera on the big screen. Visit KMOX.com for showtimes, locations, and your chance to win a pair of tickets. Listen, we're talking a very enjoyable conversation with Ruth Hayden, author of For Richer, Not Poorer. Okay, Ruth, so I'm going to sound like that guy in your example. Okay, we've dealt with the emotional stuff. Now let's think about getting to the practical stuff. And also, I want to be sure to, you know, that one question you always get, which I feel like I can help people a lot more after reading your book, that one question you always get about, well, let's talk about some of the things, some of the biggest mistakes probably people make with budgets and blah, blah, blah. But that age old question, do we put our money together or do we have separate checking accounts?
I believe that money should look like the regular life looks. In your regular life, if you're in a partnership, there is time that's for you and there's time for your partner and there's time for us.
Right.
So I call it yours, mine, and ours.
I think there was a movie called that. I'm not sure.
So we each need autonomy money. We give allowances to kids so that they have autonomy money. And I believe that adults need that too. So adults have personal money, and they just have to be clear. And then we need a place where we can practice money as a couple. And what I see in here is either they are totally enmeshed. There's no independent money, no autonomy money, or it looks like a separation budget that's totally
separate. A separation budget. You know what? There we go again. Don't start me on my high horse about balance. There we are with the balance problem. That listen, that is very interesting that you said that. They're either completely enmeshed their money, or they look like a separation budget.
And there's very when I first work with a couple, there's very little mixture in there that either, you know, we kind of work it out at the end of the month. I tell him what he owes me. He tells me what I owe him. You know, that's the separation budget. Enmeshment is, well, you know, we just kind of try not to spend too much. If we spend more than $100, we have to talk to each other, but we just don't worry about it too much. You know, we get what we want. But the reason that I'm seeing them is that it doesn't work.
Well, right. They wouldn't.
Otherwise,
yes,
why would you waste your money and time on me?
Yeah.
So I'll start with the assumption that people can think of more fun things to do than coming in here or taking a class.
Right.
So I'm just assuming before that we've even heard any talked about anything that it's not working.
Right.
I believe that couples really need to know that they have autonomy money, that I can go pick up a cup of coffee or a Wall Street Journal or something without conversation with my husband. And I also believe in this day and age, there is so much protection. It's, you know, don't commingle money. Make sure everything is kept separate because in case you get divorced, it could be really messy. Well, you know, Christine, we got to take a chance somewhere. And there has to be a way to practice being a couple. And that's in a couple checkbook and probably a couple of savings accounts. You know, how are we going to decide to make decisions and trust each other out of a checking account? I think that's imperative that couples get, you know, practice trusting each other.
Right.
Now, we set up the rules. You understand that. So they both know the parameters. I also tell the couples that I am assuming health. In other words, with their autonomy money, I am assuming that they're not going to do something that would break a core agreement as a couple.
Right. And assumptions, you have to be careful. But you're right. It works under the pretense of that. Absolutely.
But I tell them that. And if that's not true, then they need to come see you, Christine.
Right.
They need to find out their commitment.
In other words, yes. In other words, you're telling them your expectations because that's how they're going to get helped and not waste their money.
Absolutely. And if that's not true for them, you know, of course, that's true even if the only thing I ask of the couples that I work with is if they have that commitment. They have a commitment to make this work together, you know.
Yeah, again, but you know how the, and right, and time tells quickly. It's like I say in couples counseling, I say, listen, you know, it's kind of an operation of faith in here. I can't guarantee anything. You know, faith being that you believe something can be made better without any proof. It's true. And I say, look, I don't fix you. I try to help you. I go, but it becomes pretty evident here pretty quickly who's willing to do the work and who's not. So it works itself out.
That's true. I can tell when a class of 15 couples come in and they introduce themselves, I can pretty much tell who's going to be on board to work or not.
Absolutely. There's no
and
question about
quite
that.
Quite interesting. You know, the study that the academics in Washington State did, they were trying to decide if they could tell ahead of time which couples would make it. And one of the things they decided was that you have to have 5 positive interactions for 1 negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the couples that don't aren't going to make it.
Yeah, they're
that's kind of interesting, quantifying something like that. I don't know if it's right or not.
Yeah, it's hard
but
to quantify. Yeah, you'd think that would be hard to quantify dynamics of relationships, mm-hmm. but I guess you can. Listen, we're going to have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Ruth Hayden.
Welcome back to Relationships 101 and Christine Niffin on KMOX.
Hey, yes, as he says, you're listening to Relationships 101. We're talking with Ruth Hayden. She's one of the experts on the new public television series, Right on the Money, and author of the very good book we're talking about, For Richer, Not Poor, which I do highly recommend. It's the money book for couples. So, Ruth, here's my next question. Well, it's kind of two questions. One, you know, we've talked about the emotional stuff,
right.
Getting unstuck, the communication, building the trust, the respect, all the good stuff. One question is what are some of the biggest mistakes, I guess, people make in the mechanics of, you know, trying to set up a budget and sticking with the budget? What are the biggest mistakes? And what happens when you get a couple who just says, I mean, it's almost like it's a door stopper to say, we just don't make enough. There's nothing to budget. We don't have anything.
Well, they're making their life work, so we know that they're sort of enough. We just want clarity. It usually means that they don't want to do the clarity piece.
Okay.
But the biggest mistake, whether people think they have enough money, and most people don't think they have enough money.
I don't think any of us do, but listen, I've got that terrible money belief there's never going to be enough anyway. And you know what? That causes me savings problems. I've really learned from your book, and I'm going to work on
it. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
It makes logical sense. When you figure out a belief that you have, which is there's never enough money.
Why would you save
you
money if there's never going to be enough?
Well, why would you even have money to save? You'd always find something to spend it on. I mean, it really becomes pure logic at that point to show up in your adult money behavior.
Yes.
People who believe there's never enough don't have savings because they can't keep it in there. Usually, and sometimes have some credit card debt that they're trying to get rid of, or they kind of have a running balance. But somehow they are showing to themselves that there really isn't enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the chicken egg thing. People think
right.
that the behavior, and then they form the belief, there's never enough money. And I believe it's the opposite, that people have a belief that they have formed and they set up the behavior to match it. The biggest mistake that couples make is that they don't schedule a time to talk about money and manage money.
Mm-hmm.
We are obsessed with money in this country, but we don't seem to have any kind of
dialogue
priority for managing it.
Right.
Right. And we've been taught that we shouldn't have to. That's one of the reasons that credit cards are so popular. You know, just charge it and we'll figure it out later.
Hey, we're also taught we don't have to do work on relationships because as the romance novels tell us, it's just
that's
all going to
really
be.
If you really love each other, it'll work out.
Right.
So one of the things I ask of my clients is that they schedule a money meeting with themselves.
Okay.
As a couple, there has to be a place to make decisions about money where they're both prepared to make decisions. And there has to be a place that happens week after week where they defer to. If I wake up at 2:00 in the morning and go, I wonder if we paid the car insurance, and I know we're going to have a meeting in 2 days, I don't have to wake up my partner. I can wait until the meeting because it's going to happen. And in that meeting, they set an agenda. The book talks about agendas for these meetings.
Right.
You have an agenda. It never lasts more than an hour.
Okay.
And it can't be less than a half hour.
Okay.
And following an agenda, these two practice talking about money.
Right.
It's controlled, time controlled, agenda controlled. It's safe. I have clients that meet at coffee shops. I actually have clients that meet at the library.
I love that. And out of the house. I think that's fantastic, actually.
But it has an agenda, so it's safe and it's time controlled. And then they work with the commitment, the trust, respect, and mm-hmm. they do whatever the money agenda is.
Right, because I like the part where you said that when you talk about that, one of the big things mm-hmm. also that money, weekly money meeting is doing is that's how you're regaining the trust because people are showing up and you're starting to regain the trust because they've made a commitment to coming to it.
And they show up and practice. Usually couples don't talk about money until there's a big problem. I compare it to exercise. You know, they do a marathon. And now they're in pain and they hurt and they've done horrible things to themselves. This is just a sprint around the block. That's all this should be.
Right.
It's a sprint around the block. And you talk about money when there's not a crisis looming. You talk about money so when something does happen that can be a crisis, we already know how to talk about money. Right now, with inflation and all these economic times that are putting such stress on families, couples need to have a way to talk about money. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get through this?
They do, and they need to learn how to do that. Listen, so let me ask you this in our little short closing time here.
Yes.
How do people get a hold of your book if they would like to get it? Because you should get it, everybody out there.
Well, they can check with their local bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
They can look on my website. My website is ruthhayden.com.
Okay.
Or check with their local bookstore.
Okay, that sounds good. Listen, I want to thank you very much. And for anybody out there, check out public television series Right on the Money. You can see more from Ruth, but check out ruthhayden.com. I highly recommend this book. And listen, Ruth, thank you very much for being on.
It has been my pleasure, Christine.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's good. Money, couples, all kinds of problems. Listen, I want you to pick those phones up in the next hour and give us a call at 314-436-7900 and 1-800-925-1120. If you've got something to say about money, about differences, about relationships, about handling them. And, of course, keep sending those emails at relationshipcoach@yahoo.com. Money's tough. If you related to something you heard, if you've got questions about something you heard, or if you want to talk about anything here on Relationships 101, because that's what we do, be sure and pick up those phones next hour. We'll be taking those calls, 314-436-7900 and 1-800-925-1120.